So grateful for this time of worship today. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to fill our hearts, Lord, with the words of these songs, Lord, the words of this message. Lord, just as we open Scripture and as we look at it and as we study it for a little bit here this morning, and that, God, that we would truly go from this place absolutely changed, Lord, not because of any decision we make, but because of the decisions you make in our lives. In us hearing those decisions and hearing that word from you and saying yes to that, God, I praise you, we praise you. You're worthy of all praise. And we ask, Lord, that as we open the word, that, Lord, that we believe that it will not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here today, every single life, to accomplish your work in their lives. Come, Lord. Fill us, we pray, with your word, with you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 for a moment and then move on through this message. I was really, really struck by the word that David Ring spoke in that piece. By the way, wasn't that just a great piece? A great piece of a God's work and God's mercy and God's movement in a life. He said this. He says, we throw away the things that are broken, but God doesn't throw away that which is broken. If he did, we wouldn't be here worshiping this great God. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3 on the screen, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. See that? A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick, some translations say a smoldering wick, he will not extinguish. Many of us have been broken reeds. Many of us have been burning wicks or smoldering wicks in this life. And the tendency that we have in our flesh, and people have in their flesh, is to say, oh, that reed's broken, let's just get rid of it. Or that wick is not working right and properly. There's just something wrong with her, so we'll just throw her away. We'll be done with him. We'll be done with it. But God doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't do that. Matter of fact, not only does he not throw away, but what does he do? He blows on the wick so that it brings life and it brings fire. He heals the broken reed. He heals it. And that's what you and I are called to. And one of the great things that I look at this passage of Scripture and look at this one that we're going to look at, that not only does God not throw you away, but he rescues you. He's the God who rescues. Look at this passage for a moment. It speaks of, really, when you look at the context of it, it's going to talk about how God's grace is so great to unfaithful Israel or Jerusalem. And he speaks of their birth, and it's a little graphic, but I feel like it's just so powerful and apropos to what we've seen already and how we've worshiped this morning. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. And as for your birth, watch, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. And rather, you were thrown into the open field. Why? Because you were abhorred on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and I saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said, while you were even in your blood, live. I'm not going to come and step on you when you're down. I'm not going to come and reject you when everybody else has rejected you. I'm coming to say, live, live. And the Bible will go on to say, and you did live. And I adorned you, and I spoke into your life, and I gave you grace, and I gave you mercy, and you grew up. With no hope in that open field, you grew up. And then I made you mine. Not only did God see a baby in an open field of Ord with none of the compassionate things to do, not only did he rescue, but he came and rescued you and me, and he made us his. Do we know, do we understand the extent and the depth and the breadth and the width of our rescue? He rescued you. He rescued us. He's the God who rescues. That's what he does. When you look at numbers, bunches of passage, just especially in the New Testament, go to Colossians chapter 1 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 1. And notice the rescue here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And notice when he rescued us. Look at verse 21. Even though you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, you were even engaged in evil deeds. But now, why? Because of the rescue, he's reconciled you into his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. It's the God who rescues. It's the God who rescues. And we can go on. We can look at scriptures, and we don't have time to, like 2 Thessalonians 3:2 that says that he rescues us from perverse and evil men, or 2 Timothy 3:11, he rescues us from persecutions and sufferings, or 2 Timothy 4:17, he rescues from the lion's mouth. Mary said this in Luke chapter 1, verse 74, from the hand of our enemies is who he rescues us from. Matthew 6:13, in the Lord's Prayer, he rescues us from the evil one. In most of our translations, it's he delivers us. Here, he rescues us. It's the word. It's the same Greek word. He rescues us from the evil one. Romans 7:24, Paul says he will rescue us from this body of death. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he rescues us from the wrath to come. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he rescues the godly from temptation. I don't know about you, but I see a God who rescues. And you may need rescuing today. It may be you today. You may need rescuing. You may be in the pit of despair, the pit of destruction, the pit of darkness, the pit of where you find yourself in the hand of the enemy. I mean, when he says he rescues me from the hand of the enemy, it means that you are in the hand of the enemy. I mean, you're right there in his possession. And he's the God who rescues. There's a very, very wonderful passage of scripture in Psalm chapter 40. David speaks of it because David understood what it means to be rescued. Now, Psalm chapter 40, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8, just again, real briefly, of just a great illustration from scripture. Notice, verse 1, Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me out. Watch this. He rescued me. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he made my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, our God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there's none to compare. If I would declare and speak these thoughts that you have of us, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering, you've not desired. My ears, you've opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering, that's not what you require. And then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Notice a couple of things about what this psalmist does when he's in the pit of destruction, waiting for the rescue, waiting for his God. That's what he says. He waited patiently. Number one, wait patiently. Are you needing rescue from something? Wait on God patiently. I love what some folks say about waiting. It's not just doing this and waiting for the elevator to open, even though I don't get in elevators. Right. It's not waiting for somebody to wait on me. No, it's you waiting actively, just like a waiter waits on you. It's this great, wonderful word that says, listen, while I wait, I've got my eyes on him, and I'm listening, and I'm waiting patiently for him. And then, you know, the second thing that I see in this passage is that he cries out to God. Do you know there's nothing wrong with crying out to God? Matter of fact, that's what he asks us to. Cry out to me. Cry out to me. So I'm in this pit. I'm in this position in my life. And I have to go on with my life. I'm still living life. So what am I doing? I'm crying out. The Bible says that blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who has made the Lord his trust. So I trust. While I'm waiting, I'm crying out, I'm trusting God. And then notice what he says. He says, I get to come out of the pit. And what he does is he says, he puts my feet upon the rock and he makes my footsteps firm and he puts this new song in my mouth because I got a new song, I got a new language, I got a new way of speaking because it flows from my heart and it's a song of praise to our God. And what does he say? Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. We praise. We praise him. We wait patiently. We cry out. We trust. We praise. And then what I love about what God comes to do in our lives, and I believe this with all my heart, we come out of the pit to do the will of God. It's what Jesus said. I mean, matter of fact, this psalm is a messianic psalm of Jesus, and it's quoted. It is quoted, I believe, by the writer of Hebrews, where he says, behold, I have come to do your will. What is the God's will for my life and your life today? And that's where I go, and that's where I move, wanting to do, committed to doing the will of God. God rescues, and listen to me, he rescues wholly. He just doesn't rescue part of you. I got to go into this, you're burning it up in a fire, the fireman comes in, he says, I'm sorry, I can only rescue half of you. Doesn't make sense, does it? He comes to rescue all of you, every situation, every moment. Every heartache, every sin, every stronghold, all of it. He's the great rescuer. But you know what's so wonderful about when you get off the pit and you get out of the pit and you get on the rock and he puts this new song in your heart? He invites you to the rescue. You realize that you were a part of the great rescue of God. Rescuing a people, not just an individual, not just a man, not just a boy or 8-year-old boy, but a people for God's own possession. You realize that you've become part of the rescue, this great rescue that God comes in the form of Jesus Christ in the flesh. You want to talk about the Superman, the superhero? This is the great God who busts through the wall to save us. He rescued us, but then all of a sudden, he invites you to be a part of the rescue. He invites you to be a part of the rescue. What does that mean? What does that look like? Part of the rescue. Wasn't there people in your life part of your rescue? Part of that rescue? Yes, there are people who spoke into your life. People who came along and prayed for you. Actually, some of you that actually snatched you out. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands, we are the feet. We are the arms, the legs, the mouthpiece, the ears of God. We are the heart of God. Love that. The body of Christ called. To do what? To reach down into that pit and pull him out. Pull her up. Pull that family out. Pull that nation out. It's part of the rescue. And you've been invited. There's a great passage of scripture in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Jude chapter 1, we looked at a little bit of Jude last week, but this is a different passage of Jude. Notice in in Jude verse 20, he says, listen, there are ones who do cause divisions, and they're worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Now watch this. That's verse 19. But you, beloved, you, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, What happens when you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, I was going to say this. When you stay in the love of God, all I would invite you to do, and you don't need to do this right now, but you just open 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you, by the power of the Spirit, live that passage out. And I want to tell you, you'll keep yourself in the love of God. You'll be patient and you'll be kind. You will not be provoked. Anything anyone does to you because you love, doesn't love is not provoked. It doesn't take into account a wrong suffering. Listen, love bears all things. It believes all things. It endures all things. He's just going to do it again. So I'll just take that baby and just stomp him out. No, we pick that baby up and we love that baby. That baby may be 45 years old. 50, 55, 60. Child of God, child of the King. We are called to love. To keep ourselves in the love of God. And what that looks like, Jude says, is even though you have all these people, do you remember last week when we looked at Jude and we talked about ungodly people and what ungodly people look like? And he uses the word four or five times. He uses the word four or five times and the word ungodly. And he says, you know, they're grumblers and they're complainers and they follow after their own lusts. And well, look what he comes down. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. And you're waiting anxiously, watch, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And you have mercy on some who are doubting. And then you save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear. Yeah, hate the garment polluted by the flesh, but don't hate them. Don't hate them. Don't give up. Listen, when He rescued us out of darkness and transferred us into His marvelous light, so do what? To proclaim that excellently. Excellently. I look at this wonderful clip and I say, here's a guy who understands that when he gave up on himself, God didn't. God didn't. You know what's interesting about that clip? Everybody's telling this guy he can't do it. He goes to church. I don't know what the pastor told him. I don't know who came alongside him. I hope he did. But he didn't say it in this one. Where was I for 14 years of his life? I say that figuratively. Where was I for the first 14 years of his life? Where am I for people around me? People that I walk with. People that I love. People that I've served with. We rescue. That's what we do. We rescue. We don't throw broken people away. We do not throw broken people away. And you know, there are some people, though, I understand there's some people in our lives, they want to stay broken, and they've told you about it. But there's others, they don't want to be broken. And there's this invitation from God and from their soul, come, be a part of the rescue. Because God's called us to be a part of the rescue. He's gifted you for that. He's given you talent and passions for that. Part of the rescue. Turn to Matthew 25, and believe it or not, we're going to close with this. You'll believe it when you see it. 25. Two weeks ago, I went to prison. Craig went with me, a couple of other guys. And, you know, it was just a powerful night. I mean, the place was packed. They were attentive. Each of the guys that went in had a certain style of teaching and speaking, and they were quiet, and they were attentive. You can hear a pin drop. And I walked out. You know, when you go in, you've got to go through 10 gates, and you've got to go through locked doors, and it can be quite unnerving the first time. And I walk out the chapel, and I walk out the gate, and I walk out the second gate, and I walk out the third, and I think, I just saw Jesus. And I said, wait a minute, you say that every time. Yeah, but I just forgot. It's that new. it's that fresh, it's that exciting, that all of a sudden it takes you by surprise. And I've been doing it for 10 years, and I've been saying it for 10 years. And it was nothing premeditated. I didn't have to premeditate that. Oh, that was such a great... No, I got to see Jesus, and all of a sudden I thought, oh, you say that every time. And I want to say it every time. I want it to be new. I want it to be fresh. And maybe I can do it another 20 years to go in and to speak to these men about God and the gospel and the freedom and the fact that God doesn't throw broken people away. Doesn't throw them away. But yet, who have you thrown away in your mind? Who have you thrown away in your heart? Who? I've got to ask the same question that I ask you this today as your pastor. There are people in my life that I've given up on. And I want to be a man that reflects the God who doesn't throw away broken things. God never gives up. We don't burn bridges. We make bridges. And keep them. And we ask God to show us, God, what's our part in the rescue? And so in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, he says, the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and he'll sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come to you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was hungry and you rescued me. You rescued me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you rescued me from loneliness and being unknown to being known, and you invited me in. I was naked. You clothed me. You rescued me from poverty, from nakedness. I was sick, and you came to me. You rescued me in that moment. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of these, you did it to me. You know what else he says though? He says, when you didn't do these things, you weren't doing it to me. I was the one sick, and you didn't come to visit me. I was in prison, and you didn't come to see me. And I was thirsty, and you didn't give me something to drink, and hungry, and naked. When did we see you, Jesus? Because certainly we would never do that to Jesus. Ah, but when you did it to these, the least of these, you did it to me. You did it unto me. Least of these people in this world, the overlooked and the undervalued. The overlooked and the undervalued. Least of these. That's what God's called us to. Least of these. Not to throw them away, not to ignore them, but take the Spirit of God in our lives that empowers us to be witnesses right here at home in the other ends of the earth. In any other place in between, God might send you or me or us, and to believe that this empowerment is for us. Jeanette has put together a group of women that are going to New Orleans this week. They're going to work with Patrick and Dixie Burnson, who has one ministry, who works with overlooked and undervalued people. Yeah, they work in very hard places. And Patrick and Dixie felt like they were supposed to name this ministry One, because it was, they're just looking for that one to rescue. And God invited our church as they went and found this to be a part of that rescue. And so Jeanette and six other women, is it six, seven I think now, are going to New Orleans this week to go to the least of. Yeah, they're their names. And Shelly's mom is going to join them, I think. Melody, right? is going to come. And so I'm going to ask these ladies to come forward, would you? These ladies are part of the rescue. Listen, whenever you get on a mission trip, folks, think about it as a rescue. Search and rescue. When you go to your job tomorrow, there's people who need rescuing. They need rescuing.